Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to What Women Want with Judy Gott, only on LA Talk Radio.
What Women Want is what women want to hear. Thank you for joining us for Where Did Our Passion Go? It's a hot topic for a lot of people. I'm your host today, Trevor Molyneux. I'm sitting in this evening for Judy Goss. What Women Want celebrates women of all ages live Wednesday evening here on LA Talk Radio. And thank you for listening and for downloading our archive shows on LA Talk Radio, iTunes, and Stitcher. We're so grateful for all of you. If you haven't subscribed yet to iTunes, go get it done. It is free. It's easy to do. And you can listen to all of our past and present shows. And it helps us give you more entertainment and fantastic listening. Okay. A little bit about me. I am Trevor Molyneux. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist with a specialty in couples counseling. I'm also the author of Forging Healthy Connections, How Relationships Fight Aging, Illness, and Depression. And my new book on blended families will be out in early 2016. And you can find me on the web, trevormolyneux.com. So, I can't wait to get to our fascinating guests this evening. We have Mally and Joe. They are dating and relationship experts and authors of the book Soulmate Experience, and Dr. Dennis Nader, if we can get him on the phone, and he is a dating coach. And so where does that passion go after so long in being in a relationship? Well, we're going to find out the answer and how to get it back in a few minutes. So, in the meantime, we should be planning with confidence and enjoying life. Sounds like a dream come true, right? Well, Beth Blecker, owner and CEO of Eastern Planning, considers that phrase her mission. Planning with confidence and enjoying life. With her experienced team, including her own son, Matthew, managing and monitoring their investment philosophy, they keep the vision for their clients simple. Provide superior client services with personal and practical advice. Beth's firm has been working closely with women and families since 1995, and her unique insight into dealing with divorce, taking care of parents, and other pressing issues that face all of us today and impact our money. It's the centerpiece of her family wealth management program. You can reach Beth at her office anytime for a complimentary consultation. Just call 854-627-8300. If you have just joined us, you are listening to What Women Want here on LA Talk Radio with over 35,000 listeners every month. Thanks for joining us. Our show tonight is Where Did Our Passion Go? So let's bring our first guests, Molly Apple and Joe Dunn, who are authors, coaches, lovers, and best friends. Their best-selling book, The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships, has helped thousands of people around the world create relationships that are deeply connected emotionally, spiritually, and sexually. The new sequel, The Soulmate Lover, A Guide to Passionate and Lasting Love, Sex and Intimacy, explores everything from connecting to your sexual energy to using sexual healing to transform sexual issues into heart-opening erotic pleasure. Sounds fantastic. Welcome to the show, Molly and Joe.
Hey, thanks for having us, Trevor.
Hey there.
Hi, Molly. Well, first of all, you know, there's been a lot of news out there about, like, you know, Ashley Madison and the hack and what seems to be rampant infidelity out there. Something seems to be going on with couples and committed relationships and sex. So tell me why you think that so many couples are reporting their love lives are in kind of like stale time now. What happened?
Crisis, absolute crisis. And I think one of the biggest things is FOMO.
FOMO.
You know, fear of missing out.
Oh.
Ever since social media came on the scene, we see more and more every day of all the stuff we could be doing, all the possibilities that are out there. And sexuality is by far no exception to this. It's one of the biggest traffic and money sources on the internet is sex. And people are seeing, oh my gosh, more than ever, I'm in this relationship. I have kids. I have a family. I do want to be here and be dedicated to them. But over here, I see all this stuff I don't get to explore.
And it looks pretty exciting.
It does. And I'm getting older.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that hits us harder than ever.
Oh, well, I feel like we have, like you're saying, it's a crisis. And what's happened to, I can focus on this one individual next to me and grow it and make it more exciting and wonderful and deeper. And you're saying everybody's like, no, 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 I want to be really sort of not substantial. I want to be on the surface. I just want whatever, sex or that thing over there that looks like more fun.
I think it's especially if, you know, your relationship is disconnected, then that looks really attractive to you. But if not, if you can keep your primary relationship exciting, then I think that that need or that desire to look elsewhere is really diminishes.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's key, right? What we're not doing is keeping our primary relationship exciting. That's not an easy thing to do.
It is really difficult. So tell me what you think the top three things we can do to keep it exciting.
I think I'd start by recognizing that we are, you know, we come into a relationship as these independent human beings on our own tracks, and now we're in this relationship, and instead of just becoming one without our own independent lives anymore, really, so what I'm trying to say is having a sense of myself as an individual sexual human being in addition to being a sexual partner to Joe, it doesn't mean I'm going to run out and have affairs, but it's like I honor my own sexual development even within the relationship, so that what I might do is continue to experience myself as a sexy woman.
Mm-hmm.
Feel, you know, wear things that make me feel sexy outside of my relationship with Joe, not connecting it all to him, so that I continue to have an independent sense of myself as a sexual person. It makes it much more exciting for me and I think for him.
Definitely. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
When so maybe one of the keys then is to say, not only are you creating or growing and expanding yourself personally, but within the relationship, and that's a key to it, right?
I think I'm not only expanding myself as an individual, but also it's that sexual identity. That if my sexual identity becomes all I am is this one part of the couple. I mean, we have this ideal that will be fulfilling, but I think it's really not. I think there is a desire for growth in every human being, and our sexual aspect is also, we also have that desire for growth there.
You're absolutely right, Molly.
I'm not being very articulate about this.
What I'm hearing you say, which is really interesting, and I think it's important for all of us, which is we are individuals, but we're also individuals within the context of a connected relationship. And if you have the courage, and also your partner isn't threatened by you growing and expanding in a way that is still safe within the couple, you can create and grow your sexuality. And it's
absolutely
wonderful, creative.
If you lose that individuality, you know, then all you have is the relationship, and after a while, that can get pretty stale.
That's an interesting take on it, because, you know, a lot of us think, well, if I become this really, really connected couple and we go so far over and we're so into it with each other, then we really don't have room for anybody else, but we don't have room for ourselves either.
And we don't bring new aspects of ourselves into our sexual relationship. So with Joe, there might be some new thing that I want to try. And the idea that I might be afraid to do it is actually a good thing, because we want to continue to stretch our comfort zones together. So I need to bring in new elements. He needs to bring in new elements of something that, you know, maybe I've thought about in the past trying, but I never had the courage to. I mean, it's really the reason to do it is we want to continue to bring that charge, something new.
So we're always playing on the edge, you know, where it makes us nervous a little bit, because that's where we're excited, and we're excited to be with each other when we're both feeling that.
You did something today on the edge.
I do. Well, yesterday and today.
Good. I'm so glad.
Yesterday, Molly had a project going on with her daughter at school, and so she said to me, she said, "Hey, you're off the hook tonight. I want you to go out there and just pretend that you're single and, you know, come back with a story for me or something." So
the idea is just to feel what it would feel like if he were single. And I think for both of us, that's kind of a fascinating inquiry. You know, we've been together 13 years. So what would it feel like if you were single? Just go out and have a feeling. What would you do if you were single today?
Yeah, so I went out and I had a glass of wine and I chatted up some women. And it was, you know, I got that feeling of being single again. And it was great. And I had this intense appreciation for Molly, right? Because
she's the one
sending me out there. She's not saying, "Hey, I'm busy, but I don't think you should go out because that's dangerous out there. You know, you might get yourself in trouble." No, she's saying, "Go get in a little trouble and come back and bring me a good story." You know, and when I'm in a relationship with somebody like that, it's like I don't want to push that relationship over the edge. I want to just play right up against the edge of it, you know, and then come back with an exciting story for Molly. And it works great. You know, it's really...
It sounds scary, but, you know, it's just all he did was have a conversation. That's the extent of it. But that right there would terrify many couples.
Like, exactly. I was about to say, you have an incredibly secure connection here, and that if you can be okay with, go have a conversation. Doesn't mean you're going to have sex with that person, but it does. There is that little excitement of saying, "Oh, you know, I still can bring it. Somebody thinks I'm cute," you know?
Yeah.
This might be to jump in as well. You know, my top three for this are really, really very simple. The biggest thing that I see, and I deal, of course, with singles as well as couples, is that women generally do not work on their sexualities when they're out before they get into marriage. They figure that somehow they walk into marriage and all the switches are going to get turned on. When in fact, it's your job to get all of those things put together before you meet that guy that you're going to then invest in and have a life with. That's number one.
So you start
before you begin.
Now, this is Dennis. Dr. Netter is a best-selling author, entrepreneur, TV, radio personality, lecturer, and dating sex relationship expert. Thank you and welcome onto the show. I'm so glad you jumped in. We're having this very interesting conversation. And he's now, after 16 books and answering more than 48,000 questions from all over the world, he's honed a style that's less warm and fuzzy and more direct, bold, funny, insightful. So welcome on the show, Dennis.
Thank you very much. It was such a great way to just kind of segue right in here, you know?
So I
really want to stress, though, that you know, we don't spend enough time stressing, especially to our kids and our friends and our girlfriends and family. You know, you've got to be building your sexuality. It doesn't just turn on for you. It's something you spend an entire life either growing or ignoring.
Interesting.
So that's number one.
That was my same number one. Very interesting.
Yeah, and I love that, and especially for women, because it really, culturally, it's frowned upon. Usually women are not supposed to be out there experimenting before they meet their partner for life, and so a lot of women feel very, you know, sort of hemmed in, like they're really not supposed to do those things. So what do we say to the women who maybe haven't had sex prior to marriage, that are really saving it, and how do they grow their sexuality within that relationship?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you that's one of the things that it just breaks my heart every time I hear that somebody's saving themselves for marriage. The reality is, you know, sex is, it's a very complicated thing. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the switches don't just turn on because you meet somebody. There's a lot of work you need to do on yourself first. And by denying that work, of course, then you walk in with an instant deficit. So we want to give people permission. Hey, it's okay to masturbate. It's okay to fantasize. It's okay to download and enjoy porn on the internet. It's okay to express yourself sexually. Even if it's only one day a year on Halloween you dress up and get sexy, at least you're doing something.
You're doing it. Exactly.
You're going some direction.
Yeah.
By the way, number two, and this is so critical, once you're in a relationship or once you're in a marriage, I bring this up because I had this conversation with somebody just yesterday. And she was telling me that, you know, I have all this, I really want to, like, fix my sexual issues with my relationship with my boyfriend, but I just can't talk to him.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, really? Is that the kind of relationship you want, where something that is so ultimately important to you, so incredibly valuable, you can't say? there's bigger problems in the relationship than just you not getting your sexual needs met. That's
absolutely
where you have to begin.
So Molly, how do you guys, what would you say to a young couple who one is actually afraid to speak to the other, even about something as basic as sex? But I believe that's a big problem for most couples. Sex and money are the two things most people have trouble talking about.
I think so. I think that talking about sex is one of the most important things we can do in any relationship, because that's part of keeping the charge alive. Is even if we have to start with some very distant topic, like the sexual, can you talk about a fantasy you had when you were young, something that's mm-hmm. a little bit removed from where you are today.
Mm. And Joe, what are your thoughts on this? Do you encourage couples to just start in with the conversation, or do you have them start sort of walking around the edges of it? What do you say?
Well, I think, conversing about it is so important. In fact, we've got a part in our book called Oral Sex, and it's about talking about sex, and how critical that
is.
I love that.
Yeah, super important, I think, uh-huh. before you go walking around the edges, because walking around the edges, it gets a little bit scary. So mm-hmm. I think we would always say, you want to move into it slowly and gradually where everybody is comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
one thing I've done with my clients in the past where they have trouble talking about sex specifically is we'll go to something else, and I'll say, okay, I want you to do me a favor. Whisper in my ear the one thing you've had in your past that you've never told your boyfriend or husband. Now, I'm not going to tell him, but you tell me. And it's interesting that knowing you have a safe place to express a thing that's never been mm-hmm. said before, especially with a stranger or somebody that doesn't have any weight in the outcome, and knowing that it's a safe place, begins the process of saying other things. All of a sudden, that huge thing, and you're thinking, well, but I really would like to get spanked. It doesn't seem like such a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, having that safe connection is just hugely key. And as a therapist, I'm a couples counselor. A lot of the work for me is getting people to that place where they feel safe with each other to really speak the truth. And then what happens is they get so comfortable that the sex gets boring. So that's where we get to that, what happened, where does the passion go, which is the topic tonight. And so what do we say to our couples who have been together for, 13, 16, 25 years, and how do they get it back? Dr. Netter, what do you say?
Yeah, if you go to a sleep therapist, and let's say you're having problems sleeping, the first thing he says is, if you're laying in bed and you can't sleep, get the hell out of bed. Don't practice not sleeping in bed. And I tell mm-hmm. my couples the same thing. Don't practice not being sexual in bed. Mm-hmm. Get out of the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Get in, go to the living room, the kitchen, go to go to a hotel, find a car in some, like in the back of a mall or something. I mean, the mm-hmm. idea is get out of the environment and do something different. You've got to break that pattern of not being sexual. By the way, that also goes, change it up, but it goes one other step too. And I always want to see, whenever I talk to, especially men, more so than women, guys who are looking to meet women, the very first thing I ask them is, do you have a hobby? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I work. I don't have really time. No. You've got to have time, because having a hobby creates a point of interest for you. I like couples to have couples hobbies as well. Do something you've never done before and that neither of you are aware of or experienced in, and get into it and learn something. And all of a sudden you're creating just a new enthusiastic environment in your relationship. And guess
Absolutely.
What? Absolutely. It leads right into the bedroom or the backseat of the car or whatever.
Very sexy. Joe and Molly, what do you say to these couples who may be together for a very long time and they really adore each other, but they don't have that hot feeling?
I think they need to, assuming that the communication is good, and that's what they both want is to get that charge back. It's like Dennis was saying, you've got to start looking for something that's going to get you on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, going to a clothing optional resort for the weekend.
That's a good idea.
Just something to stretch out of your comfort zone.
Around here in the Bay Area, there are probably hundreds of opportunities to stretch your comfort zones together, from activities to physical activities. There's new physical activities being created every day. I mean, Joe tried out bar class today.
Oh, very good, Joe. That's hard.
The only guy she had had in class in a year.
Nice. I bet your butt hurts.
That's great. I don't mind being the only guy in a room full of women.
You're a very secure man, Joe. That's great. Well, so, all right, so tell me what you think of couples who say, you know, I would really like to have a third person in the bedroom.
You know, I'll jump in here real quick. I've been working on a book on this very subject about threesomes. And there's a number of different types of threesomes. You know, and part of the problem is what type you're talking about. You have one where you have, you know, the husband and wife maybe bring in a woman or a man, and those are different situations. And usually that's the beginning of the problem, the expectation. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's bring a third person in. And the guy's thinking, hey, we'll find some hot girl. And the girl's saying, hey, let's find some hot guy, you know.
Mm-hmm. So do you suggest they have rules? How do they keep it from kind of going, bleeding into their intimate relationship? And how do they keep it just sex? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, it's a large, large discussion, because there are many rules that you have to define up front, but they're more so than that. You have to look at it from a basis. Here's the problem with threesomes. In most cases, people don't spend the time doing the work up front. And because of that, it's more common for a threesome to do harm to the relationship than to do benefit.
What is that work up front?
Yeah, things like, for example, what are your expectations? What are the rules? Can I touch her? Can she touch me? Vice versa, you know, can the guy do whatever? The point is, every one of those rules will be very defined in a person's mind, but they've got to be stated out on the table. So what I recommend a couple do, if they're really thinking about doing that, don't do it for a year. Spend the year fantasizing about it. Add it to your existing sex life and see what it does, how it augments, and use fantasy to kind of build out what the scenarios and the rules are. Now all of a sudden, when you're ready to go, it's pretty well defined.
And Joe and Molly, how do you guys tackle that one?
You know, I really like the idea of fantasy, because the idea that we can move in that direction slowly. There are many ways to bring the energy of another person into your twosome without that actual person being there. And I think Joe going out yesterday as though he were single and having a short conversation with somebody at the bar is one of those ways to bring, you know, what we're really looking for is energetic connection. We're looking for a sexual energy charge from another person, which, you know, we're, as human beings, we're not naturally monogamous. So this desire for a connection with a human being outside of our twosome is very common. Mm. But we feel like a couple has to be really, really, really connected before.
Yeah, that's the critical thing is if they're connected, then I think you could do away with so many rules, you know, and just work on staying connected in the experience.
Because you feel the connection right into an experience with another person.
Yeah, I would think that if you're not that connected, you probably want to establish a bunch of rules.
Well, I have certainly had couples who have discussed it. I've had couples who have experimented with it. I've had a couple who felt very positive about it. Another one that it did break up their marriage. So I've seen all sides of it. And the one that I think, if you would call this a successful sort of thing, they had this girlfriend for 6 months. She added to the experience. They had very clear rules up in front. And once it was over, she or that experience provided a whole realm of fantasy for the couple going forward. I kind of felt badly for this woman, though, that they dropped. I mean, how about her?
She's probably doing fine. Unicorns are a rare breed.
She's out working on her sexuality before she gets married. How brilliant
Apparently,
is that?
So. Yeah,
that's right. From both sides.
Molly, I want to ask you a quick question about the thing with Joe yesterday. I mean, when he came back after the event, how did that work for you? Did that was that an additional energy for you? Did it give you a fantasy point, or what did it do for you?
Absolutely. It brings more energy into our relationship, right? He can go out and feel some of that vitality of a man who has freedom in his life to experience attracting to another person. that idea that Joe can go out and experience himself as a sexual attractive man and feel that vitality and be able to bring it back. He always talks about bringing back that energy home to our relationship and contributing it to what we have together.
And it works great. It really, it's something that we can, you know, it's like a fuel for your relationship. And when that happens, you know, when Molly gives me the freedom to go out there and feel as if I'm single, that's enough. I'm not drawn to, you know, anybody I might meet because I've got this incredible woman at home waiting for me to, you know, for me to bring the story back and who's willing to, you know, take a risk and let me go out there. Not only let me, but urge me to go out there and then, you know, come back with a story for her.
Like you said, Trevor, it's just giving him the knowledge that he still got it.
Mm-hmm.
We've even
still
done
bring
this,
it.
You know, we've even had this just walking, let's say, in a market together, in an outdoor market, you know, walking for 10 minutes a little distance away, both just feeling like, how would we feel walking through this market if we were single? And just doing that, we start looking at each other and going, wow, this is really cool.
Let's go home.
Let's go home.
So oftentimes I'll suggest to couples when things get a little stale is coming up with a menu. Maybe a list of things that you'd like to try, whether it's something as simple as you know, covering your eyes or having your hands tied. Have you ever suggested some things like that? And what would be some of your suggestions to add to this menu?
Absolutely, we do that.
Sure.
I mean, Molly has a bag of tricks that she brings along, you know, every time we go away for the weekend.
I have a whole bag of things, yes.
That's
it all the time.
And Dr. Netter, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, you know, the challenge you run into is simply this. There are people that have experiences in their lives where, for example, being tied up may be a negative thing, and obviously you want to fix those problems. By the way, I believe that people need to have those kinds of issues fixed before they go out seeking relationships. Mm-hmm. Doesn't always work that way, obviously. But to that point, I mean, yeah, having the menu or having an idea of a list of things you can do. But I would say even more importantly is don't have the menu. Go out and discover. Find out what's out there. In fact, you know, it's really, really good to talk to people that have lots of different experiences or lots of different ranges. There are some people, for example, who are into swinging. We talked about, you know, bringing the threesomes mm-hmm. in. I've known triads and quadrads and quintads that actually worked really well as long-term relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is that was the core of their fantasy-based sexuality. When you start talking about things like swinging outside the relationship, that was taboo. Or BDSM was not part of it, things like that.
Mm.
So what they did is they defined what was really core important to them.
So they could have relationships within, like, say, three other couples. They could switch around, and that would kept it within those three couples. Is that what you're saying?
yeah. Actually, with like a triad or quadrat or whatever, they generally will never bring in another outside party. The relationship is solid in and of just those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, where are you going to go with that? I mean, there's a trampoline, I mean, how far do you want to go?
Okay. No, you got to be open-minded. What if one of our couples is, I tend to kind of not want to sleep with anybody else, but I would like to keep my relationship with my one husband and, you know, grow that. And how do I keep that hot and exciting? And I love the idea. And I don't know if you guys know of Esther Perel. She's done some beautiful writing.
Yeah.
Her book, Mating in Captivity, and she's got TED Talks. And she talks about the shadow of the third, the same kind of idea as talking to the guy at the bar, using that sexual energy and feeling like, you know, we can bring it and inject it back into our relationships.
Exactly.
But do you guys have any other ideas of how to keep that going if you're just with one person?
If we're just with one person. Well, we also have, you know, Joe and I have friendships with both single people and couples that we get together with. And because we talk and write about sexuality, we have people that we sit and have conversations about sexuality with a lot. And that brings a ton of energy to our relationship.
It really does. It's you know, it's something that we can work with after the conversation is long past and bring it into our own relationship.
Last week, we went out with a friend of mine who is into the Japanese rope art. She's being tied up, and she's, you know, on display. She's just doing this as an art form, but we got to interview her for a couple hours about what attracted her. You know, to get tied up naked and strung up from, it sounds crazy to me, but to hear her talk about it, I really got an understanding from it from the inside. And also for us, I mean, that just contributed so much interesting sexual content to our relationship without us going outside of our relationship.
Does that make you want to go get tied up? Or no, that's
not
just the idea.
Not really, although I did take that. We were dancing around in these crazy things called Zentai suits. Do you know what those are? They're full suit, body suit made out of Lycra.
It covers your whole body, hands to toes.
We do crazy stuff all the time because we're into this stretching your comfort zones together, and we were dancing in those at a party a few nights ago, and they had some scarves there, and I got that idea, like, yeah, tie my hands together where I'm dancing. I kind of like, okay, we'll play this a little bit.
So I tied Molly's hands behind her back and
kept dancing. So that's as far as I've gone.
So, Dr. Netter, do you use some of this in your relationships?
Oh, absolutely. Pardon my arrogance. I'm pretty evolved sexually. There's nothing that shocks me. There's nothing that, for all intents, I really haven't experienced in some way. I mean, I really worked on my own sexuality as well as I recommend my clients do the same thing. So it doesn't shock me or surprise me in any way. But, you know, when we talk about other people who are in relationships, the problem with a relationship in general is that it's looked at as a static thing, and that we now form the relationship and there we are. But no, that's the beginning of the process. And if you can get past the idea that you're not growing now, there's now new things to explore, then everything becomes open. So there are no no's anymore. There are only, hey, I like that or I don't like that. Yeah, I can try that or I don't try that. It's like, for example, Molly and Joe going out and the hentai tie step, which is absolutely stunningly gorgeous. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it.
I'm going to check it out.
And there's a lot of layers to that onion, effectively. Obviously, the submission component of it, the art component of it, giving away your erotic power to somebody else component of it. There's lots of layers to this onion. So you get to decide which components you want to take away from that. I mean, for example, the Lycra body suits are really a good example, where now all of a sudden you have this sensual physical feeling. Also, because of the look, there's a visual aspect to it, too. And everybody has a different tie to it. Some love the sound of Lycra on the skin. Some love the smell and the feel of it. Some love taste of Lycra. It depends on the person, right? Mm-hmm. So, but you get to experience it on all of those levels if you're open to those things, like having a great meal. The meal is how it looks, and the ambience, and the flavor, and the scent, and the experience. It's all of that.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like what you're saying is continuing the curiosity, going on the edge, finding new things to do, making it safe for your partner, but also like really pushing yourself to evolve.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, Molly, you actually mentioned this earlier, in that it's not really necessarily safe per se. Safe doesn't really come into the play. It's about experiencing those edges, and not because you're pushing the envelope, but because you realize the edges are blurred. They're not there.
And I think
safe in that you're in a relationship with someone who's like, yes, I'm with you. Let's go to that place, and I've got your back. Everything's cool. You try that. I am down with it. You support me in trying something else. That's what I mean from the perspective of safety. Yeah. Safety is sort of a relationship.
You build real trust that way.
Exactly.
Instead of what we call trust, you know, what some people call trust is, I trust you not to do that. This is real, real solid trust that you build through these experiences together and for holding each other, having each other's back when, oh my God, this is too terrifying for me. Can you help me here? And we help each other.
And nothing makes a relationship stronger than when you have that kind of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
yeah, I'm glad you guys brought up the point of trust. Yes. Let me ask you a question about that. I mean, ultimately, I believe trust doesn't come from the outside. It doesn't come from another person. It comes from within. And so by doing these things together with somebody else, you know, you can do it. But you're building trust in yourself to deal with situations. And therefore, your world opens up. And Molly and Joe, how do you feel about that?
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's basically you trust yourself. It comes from you and not what you assign to your partner.
Yeah. You will do this, you won't do that, or I don't trust you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
not trust. It's not well, if you look at the writing, at least from my perspective, is trust is having your partner's best interest, their safety in front. Like you want to protect them. You care enough and make them important to you. That you've got their back, all of those things. So to me, that's the safe place that you can go and push all those edges. And that's not about do this because I tell you to do it. It's because we're going out there and we're exploring together in this really cool, amazing, bright way.
And it
it's interesting
scary.
To bring that up. It's if you think about what it's not even just even so much trust as it is just the experience. For example, I know people who think that it's kinky to have sex with the lights on or take a shower together. You know, I know other people who think kinky is, you know, way beyond anything you could imagine. So we have a wide range of sexuality. And if you try to live within a comfort zone of sexuality, what you're doing is you're kind of keeping yourself from maturing. I mean, as we get older, we experience new things and we get tolerant of things that we would not normally or commonly be open to, and we become more comfortable with them. And that's a good thing. We shouldn't deny that. But if you're in a relationship that itself is not going anywhere, you don't get to have that growth either.
Mm. So what is like first step out there? You have a couple walk in. Their biggest complaint is, you know, we really were like roommates. We have the best time together. We can go anywhere. It's all really great. We like each other, love each other, but we don't have this connection. What's the first step, Molly and Joe? What would you guys say?
So I think the first step is how can we get, you know, what we need some sort of space in between us to create a charge again. And I think that, honestly, coming together, if they're that close and together and they're not feeling passion, there needs to be some kind of space, there needs to be something brought in. And that's what I was talking about at the very beginning, like developing my own sexuality, mm-hmm. where I might individually, I did have this interest way back when. So let's talk about what that was. Even if I still don't have that interest today, there's always something there that's sort of a charge. If mm-hmm. I can even start there as a conversation starter for this oral sex that we want to be having in order to get to physical sex.
Uh-huh. And Dr. Netter, what is your first step to a couple coming in with that particular problem?
Yeah, you know, as I tell people all the time, if you take a bad relationship with great sex, they almost always stay together. But you take a relationship that is otherwise great and has lousy sex, they rarely stay together. So the very first thing I want to know is if I've got a couple that they're happy, they're communicative, they seem like otherwise they're great friends, the very next thing I want to know is when was the last time you masturbated?
Mm.
Because I want to know how sexual are these people to begin with? Maybe they came into the relationship as a friendship, maybe not even as a sexual environment. And maybe there's something we need to work on from that standpoint rather than trying to solve a sexual problem. We need to build sexual people. Now, if these people are sexual individually, so the next question now comes into, well, so where did the disconnect between you as a couple happen sexually? Was it an event? Was it, you know, something was said or differences in sexuality or whatever? And now all of a sudden, now we're going someplace we can move things. By the way, my therapeutic methodology is not one to sit around and talk about things. I tend to put people into situations where they have to kind of sink or swim. You know, you survive it.
Give me an example of that.
Well, for example, if a couple comes to me because they're having all kinds of internal problems, not sexual, I would just as soon hire a survival expert, give them an hour's worth of training, and send them up in the hills, let them find their way back.
Okay. Well,
you laugh.
What if,
hey, I have done that. And very successfully, by the way.
That's an interesting way to do it. Oh my goodness, because people will sit down in my office and I've never told them to go off into the mountains and but the mountains are kind of far from me.
Go find a hill and think about it.
But usually, okay, so from my perspective is people come into my office and usually it's infidelity. Somebody's had a secret. There's been betrayal. It's not necessarily physical, and it can be emotionally, and that can be just as destructive. And so a lot of my job is just kind of getting them back to a place where they can actually speak again and get past all the hurt and the pain that they're feeling. So it's really hard to, many of them really don't want to have sex with each other. Some do, and that's one thing, but a lot of them don't. So how do you handle the couples that are just in so much pain from betrayal, et cetera? Dr. Netter?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had a client recently, and she's in a marriage of 21 years, and she knew that her husband had been actually having a relationship with the same woman for the past 3 years. And her attitude was that she loved the relationship, she loved her kids, loved her husband, and she was trying to figure out how she could let him know that she knows and be comfortable enough with it to keep the relationship together, even though he has somebody on the outside. Now, very, very difficult kind of situation to deal with. I don't recommend that for many people, but that's the level of love and commitment she had to her relationship. Good enough. But yeah, you can't use sex to heal those kinds of problems. They come down to communicative issues. The reality is, especially with women more so, when women lose interest in sex, it's not sex overall. It's sex with that one partner. They still have interest sexually
or
outside.
Maybe there's some hurt and she doesn't really want to have sex with him because he's having sex with somebody else.
Well, yeah. Well, there's that too. I mean, if for whatever reason that she loses interest in the sexual partner, it is in the partner, not overall. The sexuality is still there if it was there to begin with. So at that point, it's a different kind of problem. Now what you're dealing with is you're dealing with somebody who has to kind of take back ownership of their issues and their problems and deal with them from that standpoint. There are relationships that survive infidelity. We know that in many of them.
Yeah, no, I do. That's what I do, actually. I help people get through it, and they get to the other side and often have a much better, deeper connection because they waded through all the pain and all the stuff that led them to somebody having a door open and the relationship falling apart. So I do that
exactly.
Every day.
If that's really the way to go, that's really the way things are. Not that, okay, we're going to break up because there's infidelity. We're going to use this to spur on something bigger. That's really got to be the attitude and the direction you go.
All right. So Molly and Joe, what do you say to that couple who has experienced infidelity and are just in this raging pain?
You know, we don't work with people who are in raging pain, so we're going to be totally honest here. Right. So we more work with people who are able to talk about it and want to work on it mm-hmm. together because, yeah, so that's not really – so I was actually curious with you, mm-hmm. Trevor, people that come to you and they're in that, do you find that both of them want to heal the relationship or is one of them feeling guilty and dragged there?
Well, it's a really great question because a lot of times one partner is more interested in keeping it going and the other one is on the fence. And it's very important to validate each one of them and where they're at and be honest about what it is and why it would take them for a certain amount of time, however long, to recommit. And it's very, very scary if you've believed in someone and loved somebody and then they do something behind your back. That's why I find the idea of polyamory or bringing the third person in as an overt, clear thing we're going to bring this other person is because maybe we need to expand is a much better way than somebody mm-hmm. going, okay, I'm going to cheat on you behind your back because I'm bored. I'd much rather people say, look, I'm getting bored. What can we do about it? Maybe we can just do it together, the two of us, and we're going to talk to Dr. Netter or to Molly and Joe, but we need to figure this out instead of going behind the other's back.
I love that, and I love the idea of putting out there to people that there are so many more options than just going undercover and mm-hmm. potentially destroying your connection that you have. Mm-hmm. That there are so many things, too, that you might try together one small step at a time out there. You know, just going to a party where people dress sexy mm-hmm. and there's no overt sex going on, but just that can give couples a real charge and feel like, wow, we did that together. That was really cool that we were allowed to go there together and look at everybody and talk to people and come home and get a real charge from it.
Yeah, you usually bring a lot of that sexual energy back with you.
Yeah. You know, I've really loved this conversation tonight because it's given me a sort of a different viewpoint, too, to bring to my clients. And each of you has a different perspective. And Dr. Netter, I thank you so much for your ideas and just the idea of a man being so evolved and really pushing other men and women to sort of get in touch with their own sexuality and being clear about it and open and owning it. And same with Molly and Joe. You guys are just thank you so much. It's been so interesting.
What a thrill to talk about, really.
It is really fun. It's never boring. And hope is that any couple out there tonight that's listening to us has just a little bit, a kernel of hope listening, and they can think, I can maybe get in touch with Molly and Joe. So how would anybody find you right now in case they have a question? How do they get in touch with you, Molly and Joe?
We can be found at The Soulmate Experience everywhere online, and also at our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/C/Molly, M-A-L-I, and Joe.
Yeah, that's
great.
Been a lot of fun doing these videos.
Oh, I can't wait. I got to take a look at them. And Dr. Netzer, if somebody would like to get in contact with you and you can help them get through some of their issues, where do they find you?
Easiest place to find me is beingaman.com. That's beingaman.com.
Beingaman.com. I like it. And is there a phone number they could call you on or an email? Anything else?
Yeah, well, we do everything via the website. So you start there, and then from there we go on to the phone, whatever else we need. But I'll simply say this. Everybody who's listening, you have my permission to explore, to grow, to do the things you want to do, right to the point where you have we have consent and that no one is physically or emotionally harmed. Mm-hmm. Permission granted. Go have fun.
I agree, absolutely. And that is one of the biggest messages everybody out there needs to hear, which is this has to be two consenting adults, right? We're talking adults over 18 who are willing to listen and learn and be empathic and make each other feel good and grow. So that's where the hope comes from. Well, thank you all for spending this time with me on the radio. It's been so much fun and I've learned a lot. Hopefully our listeners are enjoying this. And I look forward to hearing from you more. And I know Judy loves talking to you. I think it was Dr. Netter, you were on one of her first shows. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Matter of fact, we had a great show just about a year ago.
A year ago.
You guys know how good Judy is. I mean, on the radio, just on TV, she's just a great, involving, engaging personality anyway. So the show was great.
Excellent. And Molly and Joe, you guys were on like a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, just recently. It was great.
Excellent. Well, thank you both, so all three of you actually, so much. And we'll be in touch. I'm sure Judy will have you back on the show. And so for all of you listeners out there, we would love you to tune in next week. We're going to be doing Empowering Yourself from the Inside Out with WPIX anchor and the author of best-selling book, The New Single. Her name is Tamsin Fidel, and she's a communications expert, and along with a former actress, Robin Hatcher. Thank you again to Eastern Planning for sponsoring the show. And listeners, don't forget to subscribe to iTunes. So really, you don't want to miss even one of these shows. It's been so much fun. We really want you to have a fantastic week. And thank you so much. Any last couple second words from our Dr. Netter or
love,
Joe?
Loved having a foursome with y'all.
Oh, that's true.
Well done, Molly. Very well done.
And now, Dr. Netter, you have a quick like little thing for me on what being a man is about.
You bet. Today, the whole concept of masculinity has gone out the window. There's the number one complaint I get from women all over the world, by the way, not just the U.S., is that there are no real men anymore. Men, you got to step up and learn the masculine skills and start to bring it. I mean, there's not a lot of support for you out there. I appreciate that. That's what I do. Why I do what I do. But you've got to bring that masculine energy, because women have the feminine, and they'll bring that if you give them the right and the ability to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's our job to bring that masculine side.
But now, do you find that women push back on that, and they're saying it can be too overwhelming, and we want to calm that down? I want my man to be a little bit more feminine and really get into my space.
I don't find women saying that, because the reality is women can also do the masculine side. Men don't have that ability as much. They can't do the feminine side as easily. But the problem is they don't want to. Once a woman fills the masculine role, then she doesn't have any room for the feminine. So the women that I talk to, and this is consistent, they're looking for that man, that guy that can actually be the masculine energy in a relationship. And you'd be surprised how easy it is. Simply like getting in the car and not saying, so where do you want to go for our date? No, jackass, it's your job. It's your date. You should know.
Well, some women like to call some shots, too, though. I think there's some women who'd like their opinion to be heard.
And here's my point. I plan out a date, and we go out and you say, you know, I don't like that place. And my response is, great, because when you plan the next date, we get to go where you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go out and we have a great time, and when we go on your date, we have a great time. It's not a battle. It's an opportunity to grow individually.
Okay, well, I really appreciate that. It's good to hear your viewpoint on the male-female energy and how to sort of handle all that. I'm a little bit more of a feminist, so I like to be heard. Anyway, thank you all so much for being on the show with me tonight. We've really enjoyed this, and Judy, we'll be back with you next week. Thank you, and good night to everyone.
Thanks.
You're listening to What Women Want with Judy Goss, only on LA Talk Radio.